If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another video and also podcast. It depends where you're watching or listening. We're doing this on YouTube. We're also doing it for audio listeners on the podcast as well. It's the F1 World Cup. Oh, yes, we are getting our little time machine, and we are not only going back in time, but I suppose we're also staying in the present day, because some of the drivers are from present day, but some of the drivers are from 1950, and some of them are somewhere in the middle. And joining me to talk about this crazy F1 World Cup that's about to get underway is Tom Bellingham, the founder.
Hello. Yeah, the England are at the Football World Cup, so we're now desperately trying to get England back in the World Cup, so we're doing a new one.
That's pretty much it. Yeah, the copium is real right now. But yes, so we have broken it down into 16 countries. And I know for a fact we're live on Twitch at the moment, WTF1 official, if you don't follow us already, that people are already like, why not him instead of him? And well, tough. The field is...
blame me.
Yeah, exactly. It's blame Tommy. But the field is set. And I think what better, Tommy, than to run through who we've got for what team. And then we'll run you through the rules of how the races will unfold.
Okay, so we needed 16 countries, of course, which is why some of them are split the way they are. And what I've done when we were trying to create them, basically, is we split them up into trying to get, obviously, as many world champions in there as possible, because it's kind of, you know, the best drivers from each country. Not every team you can have a world champion, so you occasionally have a race winner in there as well. So the teams... and also for the bracket, which we'll go into later, we've also seeded the teams. So this is the order of seeded in terms of most world titles. So Germany, we have Michael Schumacher and Sebastian Vettel. You'll all know them. A lot of world titles there. For England, we have Lewis Hamilton and Nigel Mansell. Now, there's obviously a lot of drivers we could have picked for England. Could have gone with Button, Hill or whatever. But Nigel Mansell's won the most races out of those drivers. So we partnered him with Lewis Hamilton. Brazil, we've got Ayrton Senna and Nelson Piquet Sr. We've got Scotland in there. We've split the UK up so we can have more teams. And Scotland, of course.
Well, just like the World Cup.
In fact, exactly. Jackie Stewart and Jim Clark. Argentina, we've got Juan Manuel Fangio, five-time world champion, and Carlos Reutemann, who didn't win a world title but came within 1 point of winning a world title, so he was almost there. France, we've got Alain Prost, four-time champion, and the most successful French driver after him was René Arnoux. Then we have Australia, where we have Jack Brabham and Alan Jones, so a three-time world champion paired with a single-time world champion. Austria, Niki Lauda and Jochen Rindt. Italy, Alberto Ascari and Farina, who both won their titles in the 50s. So we, of course, know loads about them. Finland, Mora Ira, Mika Häkkinen and Kimi Räikkönen. Then we have the drivers where we don't have multiple title winners. We've got Spain, Fernando Alonso and Carlos Sainz. The Netherlands, we've got Verstappen and Verstappen. So Max and Jos. USA, we have Mario Andretti and Phil Hill. For those wondering, Hill, yes, not Damon Hill, not Graham Hill, but Phil Hill. Canada, we have Villeneuve and Villeneuve, again, father and son team. New Zealand, we have Denny Hulme and Bruce McLaren. And finally, we have Mexico, Sergio Perez and Rodriguez. I was trying to roll my R's then. I'm terrible. I'm sorry.
Pedro Rodriguez.
Pedro Rodriguez, race winner. The first Mexican race winner. And of course, Sergio Perez, race winner for Mexico as well. So there we go.
Well, there 16. You go then. That is the rundown for the F1 World Cup. Now, to break down the rules and how we thought would be best to assess this, we didn't do it over the course of a whole season because the World Cup is not a whole season. It's knockout. It's exciting. So what we've decided is that all four drivers, so two from each country, will race both in a sprint race and a main race. And the country with the most points wins the match. That kills me to say match, but it is a matchup because it's a knockout thing. And
The round.
Also worth mentioning, there'll be a one-shot qualifying. So a one-lap quali to decide the grid, and then you have the sprint race, and then you have the main race. The sprint race will not decide the grid, in my opinion, right, Tommy? It's going to be... It's just separate races.
Sprint and then a race, yeah.
Yeah, so one-shot qualifying will determine both grids, essentially. So how the points are broken up, the sprint race... First is 4 points, second is 3 points, third is 2 points, and fourth is 1 point. And the main race, first is 10 points, second is 6 points, third is 4 points, and fourth is 2 points. Now, we're not going to go into, well, which spec of car are we going to run here, Matt? Because that is a little bit confusing because, you know, if it's a 1950s, Fangio's going to walk this, you know? So it's just going to be
based on hypothetical.
Yeah, talent, records,
drivers in their prime and stuff, and we'll just go for it. There's no correct answer. It's like the goat debate. So at the end of it, we'll all be cancelled, and we'll have a World Cup winner.
Indeed, winners. Someone already has put in the chat Poland because their name is literally Kubica is the goat. Is their username on Twitch?
I would have put that in, but it wouldn't have been fair because Kubica would have just clean sweeped it on his own. So.
Yeah, only needed one driver, despite probably needing another one. And the reason for the points as well that we've given out is that it has to be a team effort. This is not just someone winning and the other driver getting fourth and they go through. It has to be a team.
Because then it's just a goat debate, isn't it?
Exactly, collective effort. So here we go then. We now move over. If you're live on Twitch, you'll see this wonderful bracket system that we've got going on. So the first round of 16 match we have is Germany versus Mexico. Michael Schumacher and Sebastian Vettel versus Sergio Perez and Pedro Rodriguez. Yeah, this one's not going to go too well, I don't think, if you're a fan of Mexico or want them to proceed further than the round of 16. But one-shot qualifying, Schumi's on pole. Schumi's on... I think Vettel might get pole.
Schumi's not a pole man, is he?
I can't believe... Is it 58 poles is all he got in his career?
Yeah.
Just considering how much he dominated. 58 poles in his career, Schumi. But I'll happily allow him to be P2. Vettel P1. Perez third. Rodriguez fourth.
68 poles, sorry.
68
poles and 91 wins. Yeah, the ratio is crazy.
My bad. I'm supposed to be a Schumi fanboy. 68 poles. If anyone have seen that TikTok, I had memorized it before. I think it's going to be a pretty much clean sweep, in my opinion.
Vettel pole, Schumacher's second. I don't know enough about Rodriguez as a driver. I know he was a great driver in his day and was unfortunately... killed at the age of 31, so still had a lot of his career left. But I would say, realistically, we're looking at, I think it's a Germany 1-2 in everything here.
In every session,
the world titles that they've won, the multiple race wins. So, yeah. Do we need to go into the results, or are we just going to...
No, I think this one's very much a clean sweep. I just wanted to say that Schumi won both the sprint and the main race because copium. And all that good stuff. So I think it's clear to say that Germany will proceed through to the quarterfinal there. Next up, you have Australia versus Finland. So for Australia, we have Brabham and Jones up against Mika Hakkinen and Kimi Raikkonen. Now, this one's a very intriguing one.
Australia have more titles. But do they have the better drivers?
Collectively, 26 wins between Brabham and Jones. And then you look to Finland and Kimi Raikkonen has 21, Mika Häkkinen 20. So a lot more race wins. For...
More races in their era, I guess you could argue yeah. that one. But I think for me, Mika Häkkinen and Kimi Raikkonen are two of the fastest drivers I've ever seen race. It's, Kimi, prime Kimi's taking pole here and with Häkkinen. I mean, well, I think it'd be those two battling for pole because the speed of those two is just crazy.
For me, you know, I don't want to disrespect Jack Brabham's name here. It's difficult. I would also maybe argue, and I know I'm trying not to disrespect the achievements of, you know, years and years gone by, but also the competitiveness of motorsport these days, I would argue, is so much higher than what it was back then. So for me, I'm still going to stick with
Finland. I've got recency bias. I'm not going to pretend I don't. For me, like, being able to get to the top of Formula One now, in my opinion, is a lot harder because you have to go through so many categories. There's thousands of people doing it. You have to be the peak of, you know, fitness, performance, everything. And that's not to disrespect the drivers of yesteryear. Do we do a poll? I mean, for me... No, we just came for it. Finland.
This is only the round of 16. We're going to be here a while otherwise.
Yeah, true. For me, that Mika Häkkinen is one of the best drivers I've ever seen, and Prime Kimi was unbelievable. So,
and also we're throwing one-shot qualifying into there, right? You know, the format. One-shot
qualifying.
Talk about the format. I think those
Kimi
two
was
are sticking it.
The man
front
of that in his McLaren days as well.
Exactly.
Finland for me.
Cool.
We'll have some arguments along the way, I'm
sure.
That's
fine. But... I'm committed to Finland as well. So that's going to be a very tasty quarterfinal. I can tell you that for free. Next up, USA versus Brazil. So for USA, we have Andretti and Hill, Phil Hill to confirm with that one. And for Brazil, we have Senna and Piquet.
Senna's
over,
winning.
Isn't it? It's over.
Yeah.
Senna's winning everything. He's on pole, he's winning the sprint, and he's winning the main race. No problems.
Mario Andretti's a legendary driver. And again, one of the drivers that done it in so many different categories. But I mean, Senna's dominating that race. Phil Hill, of course, is the other driver for USA, who won his world title in a year where his teammate tragically died in a crash, who would have won the title. He's still a world champion and a good driver, but Nelson Piquet is a underrated. He won three world titles. It's just a shame he's a massive beep.
Yeah, 23 race wins, but it doesn't make him any more likable with the things he's said.
Brazil are going three.
There you go. Tommy's announced it. Brazil through to the quarterfinals. And for that next side of the draw, it's Italy, which is Ascari and Farina versus Spain, which is Alonso and Sainz. Now, of course, not every single driver here is a world champion because not every country has fielded two world champions in their history. But Sainz makes it into the bracket.
This is basically
why was the reason? Because obviously, Tommy, you fielded these. Some people might be asking, why did you field Farina over Patrese?
Because he won a world title. Patrese didn't.
Okay. Just obviously because, you know, there's a difference of one race win between the two. Patrese obviously six over Farina's five. But look, you are the Italian head coach as and every other nationality head coach.
A difficult one because, again, there will be recency bias. You've got two world titles. It's like deciding Formula One's a unique sport because no other sport is so different over the years. This is like deciding who's a better footballer when they're playing in the World Cup now or they were playing when football was still combined with rugby in like the 1900s. Like it's a completely different sport. You're having to pick between the very start versus two of the best drivers nowadays. We all know what I'm going to say because Alonso's in there, but I can't possibly comment. I know Ascari was a legendary driver. I don't know enough about Farina. Ascari was one of the very best. I know he won so many races in a row. That's who Vettel got his record from. But Alonso, for me, is one of the best drivers of all time, and I will die on that hill forever.
I know you will. I don't think it's as clear-cut as saying Spain cruised through. Now, this is no disrespect to Carlos Sainz, but he is very much not exactly a decorated athlete at the moment. Of course, he has a win under his belt, but he hasn't proved himself like Fernando Alonso has. Ascari, in particular, obviously kind of proved that he was not only a talented Formula One racer, but also he was doing motorcycle racing, showing that adaptability and things like that. So for me, yeah, Alonso would probably wipe the field pretty clean. But I think that second and third position could probably go to Italy, in my opinion.
Ascari would get second, I think. Yeah. If you, I mean, again, theoretical.
Look, this is a full fun, Tommy. You don't, it's fine. It's fine, Tommy. You don't. People know this is a bit of fun.
Yeah. What's wild as well is the
says answer, but this is theoretical. I'm not sure.
It's tough, but it's Spain for me.
Okay. Yeah. No. Fair enough. Spain. Absolutely. It's not a clean sweep for me, but they probably do progress with the beautiful Alonso popping in some
magic
P1s.
Alonso.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths and sometimes heights to ensure the power is always flowing, which is why you can count on Grainger for professional grade products and next day delivery. So you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Absolutely. Right, so that's one side of the draw done. We now move over to the second side of the draw. And it's New Zealand versus England. So that's Holm and McLaren versus Hamilton and Mansell. This one's an easy peasy, lemon squeezy. England straight through to the quarterfinal. English bias, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, I think they win
you
both.
Know, you've got Hamilton, who is statistically the greatest of all time, and in my opinion, still, you know, very much should be in that debate with a very, very select few other drivers. And Mansell was very quick on his day as well. 31 wins as well under his belt for Nigel. Big Nige.
Absolutely. Yeah, English bias.
Cool. All right, we've got the English bias out the way. We now move on to our next round of 16 match, and it's Austria versus Netherlands. Austria, Lauda and Rindt, and Netherlands is Verstappen and Verstappen. It's hard for Netherlands, unfortunately, because they haven't really fielded a second... Well, they haven't won with anyone other than Verstappen, which is quite the statistic, which means Max Verstappen is going to have to carry Netherlands all the way through.
His dad, yeah.
But they're up against Lauda and Jochen Rindt, who, well, they have 31 wins together. Lauda 25, Rindt 6. This is where Tommy might get the cape out and start waving around.
No, I think you'll be surprised. I think it's Austria.
Austria goes through.
Yeah, you know, even here as the Verstappen fanboy, you know, my cape on the wall. It's Austria all day long. Think Verstappen, Max Verstappen. If you put them like two against two, so the number one drivers against the number two drivers, Niki Lauda and Max Verstappen. Max Verstappen, I think, could go on to be one of the greatest of all time if he continues what he's doing now and stays in his prime. But Niki Lauda, you know, everything he did, you know, winning the titles, winning a title after the accident he had and came back as well. In terms of like you put them in a race, I think Max is an exceptional driver, so it'd be close. But Jochen Rindt versus Jos Verstappen isn't a debate, in my opinion. Yeah. You know, Jos Verstappen came into Formula One very young. He was very hyped up, had a very tricky first year against Michael Schumacher, which might as well just kill your career immediately, being teammates to Michael Schumacher. And Jochen Rindt, you know, won his world title actually after he passed in a crash at Monza. And he was, I want to say, 28. So had so much of his career left as well. I think if Jochen Rindt had survived, he's there. He's just gone into Lotus. He's won the title in his first, you know, one of his first years with Lotus, and he'd have much more of a career, especially in those days. You know, 28 is very young for a driver back in the in those days. So, Rindt would take it easily. So I'm saying that Austria.
Yeah, and obviously when we're looking at the weighting of the points, if Verstappen won both the races, it wouldn't matter and Netherlands would go through. But the thing is, I don't think it's a guarantee that Verstappen would win both races.
Lauda
is an exceptional talent, as I'm sure a lot of you have seen the film about him and whatnot. You know, it's I don't think it's a clean sweep for Verstappen, in my opinion. Jochen Rindt was no slouch either. So, controversially, Austria go through to the quarterfinal. Next up, Argentina versus Canada. Argentina is Fangio and Reutemann. Canada is Villeneuve and Villeneuve. Very difficult to measure this one, as it always is with this beautiful theoretical thing that we've got going on here. But for me, it's going to have to be Argentina. Fangio dominated the start of Formula One, basically. He carved his name, etched his name into history right at the beginning. And of course, you have Carlos Reutemann as well, 12 wins, Fangio 24. He absolutely dominated Formula One back then. And yes, it's difficult to measure, of course, especially when you're up against Jacques Villeneuve, who was, you know, pretty good. Yeah. So was Gilles Villeneuve.
I think Canada's a weird one, because I'd argue that, you know, a lot of these pairings you have, well, Argentina's a great example. You've got the strong driver who's the world champion and then a weaker driver that didn't win the world title. But a lot of people say that Gilles Villeneuve is actually the better driver than Jacques Villeneuve, obviously taken too soon and was arguably, you know, one of the quickest drivers out there. But yeah, I mean, Fangio just dominated everything, didn't he?
Yeah, what more could Fangio have done at that time? You know what I mean? So that's why I think, you know, let's not have recency bias here. Let's give Fangio the respect he wants. I know a lot of people are questioning as well. I cannot believe Latifi has not been fielded for Canada, but unfortunately, he didn't really make the cut.
I think Gilles Villeneuve maybe even would, dare I say, beat Fangio to pole, and then probably, I don't think he'd win the race, might win the sprint or something, because he's just like
they were very much a winner,
really
or bin
quick,
it, right?
Yeah, 100%. Both of them, to be fair, you're very true. Whereas Fangio is a more calculated, you know, just got everything he needed to do to win the title, be it dominate or step into his teammate's car, which was a very odd thing that happened in the 50s, where you could just take over your teammate's car when they retired and go, thank you very much. When your car breaks down. God, imagine if Alonso could have done that these days. The amount of world titles he'd have won.
So I would actually in this matchup that the Villeneuve family would win the sprint race 1-2, but for the main race, obviously longer, they'd both crash out. Argentina goes through to the quarterfinal, and the final round of 16 is France versus Scotland. France, Prost and Arnoux versus Scotland, which is Stewart and Clark. This is an interesting one. A lot of old school drivers there. France, they have a
very weighted one drive, whereas I think Scotland have two potential, you know, top 10, 15 drivers of all time, whereas Arnoux's probably not in the top 50, if not more. won a few races, but yeah,
that's Scotland. Interesting, obviously, because Prost has won 51 races, I think it was.
Yeah,
which is
four titles.
A lot of history there. Stewart and Clark. Stewart 27, Clark 25 race wins. So that's one more overall than what Prost managed. And I think this is, again, one of those cases where Prost probably wouldn't walk the entire thing, which would then allow for me to think, right, Scotland,
I think Jim
will go
Clark
through.
Could be up there anyway. With, I think Jim Clark is considered to be one of the best of all time in terms of, yeah, again, another person that's career ended far too soon when, you know, just as the point where he was sort of dominating. I know that I looked and I saw one of the records he had. I know it's a little bit skewed because you have drop scores and things, but one of Jim Clark's records is that he actually got 100% of the possible championship points in a season in 1963 and 1965. Yeah, that is Scotland. Scotland all day.
Scotland go through.
Arnie.
Yeah, Scotland go through. So a big, I suppose, decorated driver in Alain Prost out of the F1 World Cup.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Unfortunately, life doesn't come with a user manual. So when it's not working for you, it's normal to feel stuck. Navigating any of life's challenges can make you feel unsure, whether it's a career change, a new relationship, or becoming a parent. Therapists are trained to help you figure out the cause of challenging emotions and learn productive coping skills. I myself have had therapy in the past, and I 100% recommend it if you just feel like life is weighing you down. As the world's largest therapy service, BetterHelp has matched 3 million people with professionally licensed and vetted therapists available 100% online. Plus, it's affordable. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to match with a therapist. If things aren't clicking, you can easily switch to a new therapist anytime. It couldn't be simpler. No waiting rooms, no traffic, no endless searching for the right therapist. Learn more and save 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/WTF1. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/WTF1. These days, every new potential hire can feel like a high-stakes wager for your small business. You want to be 100% certain that you have access to the best qualified candidates available. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs helps find the right people for your team faster and for free. It's incredibly easy to create a free job post on LinkedIn Jobs. Once you've done that, you can add your job and the purple hashtag hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you're hiring. Simple tools like screening questions make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience, so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. We all know if you're running a small business, it's incredibly important to finish the year strong with the right team member. And it's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/WTF1. That's linkedin.com/WTF1 to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
The first quarterfinal, Germany versus Finland. So just to remind you, it's Michael Schumacher and Sebastian Vettel versus Mika Hakkinen and Kimi Räikkönen. Now, what a quarterfinal that is. Bliss Germany, thank you very much for coming to my TED Talk.
Unbelievable. Yeah, that is an incredible lineup. You've actually got, I know they weren't directly in competition, you could argue they're friends, but Kimi and Vettel obviously raced against each other. And then Schumi and Hakkinen, of course, were great rivals as well. So, yeah, a very tasty lineup, but
And I think as well, it's probably worth mentioning, and again, this is probably recency bias, but in a bad way for Kimi Räikkönen, that a lot of people remember Kimi for the last few years of his Formula One career, where he was a bit washed. He was probably just having a booze up most weekends, just chilling out, driving an F1 car and getting the paycheck. But Kimi Räikkönen on his day back at McLaren, you know, he was sensational and he really did take it to Michael Schumacher. So I don't think we can disrespect him like that because we're kind of comparing for overall careers, but also taking into account their primes at their prime. But for me, I think Räikkönen maybe it's difficult because Sebastian Vettel, I'm not going to disrespect him either. He's got 4 world titles, but he made the most of a particular package of car and he beat Mark Webber.
It was just unbelievable. Yeah, but unbelievable in it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He made the absolute most of it. But I don't think, because obviously we're just talking about one sprint race and one main race. And if Kimi Räikkönen rocks up in his prime,
he's looking good, isn't he? Yeah. And you could argue Hakkinen as well. But I mean, Schumi, Shumi's winning the race. and then
I'm just trying to not come across too biased, but yes,
Jeremy wins. Yeah. No, I think if you look at it, that Shumi beats Hakkinen, and Vettel beats Raikkonen. It's very difficult between Vettel and Raikkonen if we're talking prime Raikkonen. Obviously, they race against each other anyway, and that wasn't really a debate. If you look at the recent Kimi Raikkonen, that Vettel was clear, but I still think he does it. So yeah. Germany.
We now move on to the second quarterfinal. Brazil versus Spain. Senna and Piquet up against Alonso and Sainz. Now, for me, look, I know you're an Alonso fanboy, but Brazil are winning this out. They absolutely are. Alonso, I don't think he clean sweeps the likes of Senna and Piquet in both the sprint and the main race. Sainz will finish fourth in both of those races. I'm sorry, Carlos, but it's going to have to be, for me, Brazil going through to the semi-final, no questions asked.
Well, no, I think Alonso clean sweep. No, I'm joking. It's definitely Senna's there getting the definitely pole, definitely sprint race, probably the win as well. and then Alonso, I think, is getting second there. But Sainz is, I want to be fair to Sainz. He's letting the team down, but at the end of the day, he's just starting his Formula One career. You never know what he might go on to do. But you can't really compare Sainz to two three-time world champions. It's a no-brainer for me. It's like, yeah, Senna's winning, Alonso second, Piquet's third, and then Sainz is not getting near them.
It's going to be Brazil going through to the semi-finals. Now to the other side of the draw, the next quarter-final, England versus Austria. So Hamilton and Mansell versus Lauda and Rindt. England are through. Thank you very much.
Yes, I think Hamilton. I think they are. Mansell, I think, is, for me, I feel like Mansell maybe lets the team down a little bit. But then when you mentioned about the number of wins and stuff, maybe, he's a bit underrated. And I think the fact that he won all those races, I know he had a dominant car when he won his title, but he won all those races against the likes of Prost, Senna, and Piquet in the peak of their careers, which I think is incredibly impressive. So, I think England go through. Got to make it to one semi-final, haven't we?
I do agree. Mansell, anyone going alongside Hamilton is going to look like letting the team down slightly when you've got the records that Hamilton has, 103 race wins. But on the other side, you have to say that Jochen Rindt is probably letting the team down as well with six drivers. Some people might be screaming, where's Gerhard Berger? Those 10 race wins, he could have... No, neither of them would have really helped the situation against England, in my opinion.
No, Rindt's better anyway. Like, had more of a peak and would have gone on to... No doubt would have gone on to do amazing things. I think this would have been a lot... it's all theoretical, isn't it? But yeah, had Jochen Rindt lived out a full life, a full Formula One career, he might have even had, four or five titles and we'd be... sending Austria through, but tragically didn't happen. I think Hamilton, with his seven titles, carries a lot of the weight here to put them through.
Does indeed.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
England through to the semi-finals. It's coming home. And finally, the last quarter-final is Argentina versus Scotland. Fangio and Reutemann up against Stewart and Clark.
I think it's Scotland, I think this Reutemann lets the team down more, where Scotland have two properly good drivers.
Mm.
Jackie Stewart's got more titles, but I know a lot of people believe that, UK bias, but that believe that, you know, Jim Clark, it's so hard to compare eras, but you look at a lot of top five, top 10 lists and people, you know, they're putting Jim Clark as the greatest ever. I feel like, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm sure Ayrton Senna maybe even, like, you know, idolized Clark as well and thought he was one of the best of all time as well. So I think Scotland go through, because I think Clark would give Fangio a race for first, and then Jackie Stewart's clear of Reutemann.
Not top, that's my logic in your book. Yeah, I agree. I think the Stewart and Clark combination is such a strong one that you're not saying either of them are really the weak link. As you say, Jim Clark, no, very much seen by a lot of people as potentially even the greatest of all time. Of course, we don't have the records to be able to compare it directly, but it's still 25 wins for him, 27 for Jackie Stewart. Reutemann, yeah, definitely seems like the weak link for Argentina. And also, you then question Fangio. Could he beat Clark on his day? Who knows? But I think a lot of people are leaning more towards Clark winning that. So Scotland make it through to the semi-finals. Yes, Scotland are through to the semis. And what a semi-final we've got between England and Scotland coming up. But first and foremost, we move to the first semi-final on the left side of the draw. Germany versus Brazil. So Schumacher and Vettel versus Senna and Piquet. I am backing my boy to the hill here. Michael Schumacher is having a clean sweep. No, it's difficult, right? Because we've broken this down into sprint and main race. And I feel like now that we're in the semi-finals, we get into actual first, second,
actual
third, fourth.
Points. And then sprint get the and points. Main.
Okay.
Okay, fair.
So for one-shot qualifying, I am, yeah, we're going to say that Senna's on pole.
Definitely Senna pole.
We're then probably going to say Vettel. I mean, look, Schumi was no slouch. I know we let Vettel have you know, one of the better grip positions, but I feel like Schumi in clutch situations.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, like, are we underrating him because he was so good in the races? And he more sort of calculated it more for
and
for
also
race wins,
taking into
he?
Account fuel loads as well. Remember qualifying?
Yeah, true. A lot of people used to.
You'd have Jarno Trulli putting 1 litre of fuel into his Toyota and sticking it on pole.
Absolutely cannot tell. There's a Michael Schumacher picture behind you. But yeah.
That's actually Charles Leclerc, mate. The one up there is...
The one up there, Schumacher. Yeah, I don't think we
can't see
it
on the stream. But...
I think Senna's on pole, and then it's close between Vettel and Schumacher. Maybe Schumacher just gets it.
Yeah,
Vettel third, Piquet fourth.
Okay. And then we move to the sprint race. So I think Senna would win.
Senna wins the sprint.
I think Senna would win the sprint. There's not enough time for Schumacher to do one of his masterclass strategies. So I think it is how it kind of ends for qualifying. So Brazil would come out of this with 5 points and Germany would come out with this with 5 points. So it'd be all to play for in the main race. But this is where Schumi comes in clutch and he beats Senna in the main race, secures the 10 bag, and Vettel does not finish fourth. I think he still finishes third. Senna finishes second, and then I've done that in a terrible order, but and then Piquet finishes fourth, unless he fancies a little dive bomb, which, you know, he does love a dive bomb, Piquet.
He's still getting there. I think Schumi wins this, which is bringing home the big points, isn't it? Schumi's winning, Senna's second, Vettel third, Piquet fourth. Which I believe puts Germany through.
It does. Germany win the semi-final against Brazil. It was close. It was a hard-run thing. But it was Michael Schumacher that carried the team. The second semi-final, England versus Scotland. Yes, Scott fans out there, you are in a semi-final and you're up against England. Can you imagine the fans going to that race? That would be quite something to behold. So, of course, England, Hamilton and Mansell versus Stewart and Clark. Now, this one is intriguing, you see. Of course, we're breaking it down again. So, does Jim Clark take it to Hamilton on his day?
Probably does.
and how crucial will Mansell be in this whole conversation here? You did
say earlier, Mansell,
you know, maybe he's the weak link, but 31 wins in an era that was so competitive.
Do we break it down in terms of the points again? This is
a difficult one.
When you're comparing eras,
it's difficult, isn't it? This is a big match, Tommy. We're breaking it down.
Let's do it.
Right, qualifying. Hamilton. I mean,
Hamilton or Clark?
How many pole positions?
He does, but does is it's weird because I personally don't. Is it fair to say Hamilton's not? No, he is a quali specialist, but then also he's not.
That's
because
103.
I know, but he's had a very dominant car, whereas I think he's better in the races.
But like, he turns up when he obviously has a decent car and just sticks it on pole and says, thank you very much. And you know, I don't think we can turn around and say Lewis Hamilton is not a pole, like a qualifying specialist.
Yeah. I guess Bottas was just very good, wasn't he? Pole and not a lot else. Sorry, Bottas. Yeah. Okay. Hamilton or Clark get pole.
This is
really
hard.
Difficult.
I think I'm just going to commit with a Hamilton pole position, Clark second, and then it's Mansell versus Stewart.
Mansell's quicker in a quicker driver, maybe Stewart better in the race. So I reckon.
Okay, so Mansell third, Stewart fourth for qualifying. We now move to the sprint race. I think Hamilton secures P1.
Yeah.
Ahead of Clark.
Ahead of Mansell.
I think Mansell gets beaten by Stewart in the race.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Ooh, okay.
So that's even now. It's even going into the main race. And then it's, would Hamilton beat Clark in the main full race? By statistics, you've got to back him.
Yeah. These are the really difficult ones, aren't they? When you're comparing almost a completely different sport. Again, like we said at the start, when we were comparing things like Fangio against even the likes of Jack Villeneuve, you know, it's completely different.
Look, it's so finely poised. We're going to put it to
who wins,
to
Hamilton
chat.
Or Clark?
No. And who wins? England, just going to.
Okay.
Who wins? England.
England, Scotland. Here we go.
Right, the poll. It's up to the viewers now. You can't blame us. We have put the poll to chat. Who wins out of England and Scotland? And right now, it is. It was changing. So close.
It's changing a lot. 53, 47,
49, 51.
49.
Right now.
England are behind.
Oh my goodness.
Here we go. How long is this poll on for? It's 51 in England's favour now.
Tommy, don't tell the people that haven't voted because it might swing the. We need a completely unbiased because they can't see it until they vote.
Okay. Oh my God. This is so close.
3, 2, 1. Okay. The poll is done. There was only 10 votes in it, but England beat Scotland. 52% of the vote went to England. Wow. That was a close run thing, Tommy. I'm glad we left it up to the viewers on Twitch chat because, I was finding it difficult, and I'm glad everybody else was finding it difficult as well. Here we go, then. The F1 World Cup is going to be decided in the final between Germany and England. To remind you all, for Germany, Michael Schumacher and Sebastian Vettel up against England, which is Lewis Hamilton and Nigel Mansell. Okay, my thoughts first and foremost here, right? This for me is an easier decision than potentially what England and Scotland were. It's Germany all day long. Germany have won the F1 World Cup. Thank you very much. Like, it has to be. We will put it to Twitch chat. We will ask them to decide fully. But for me, Germany win this one. Michael Schumacher, Sebastian Vettel are much more. They're more decorated, and also I think they're a stronger duo than Hamilton and Mansell. And if you're a Nigel Mansell fan, I'm sorry, but I feel like he lets down the team for England. Germany win the World Cup. Tommy, what do you think?
This is a very interesting one because essentially you've got quite similar drivers. I know Vettel's won four titles and Mansell's won only the one, but Mansell was, you know, had some stiff competition. He finally got into a sort of a championship winning car in that Williams, like Vettel, you know, a newly designed car that absolutely dominated in the year and made the most of it. So Vettel and Mansell in their primes, I would say, yeah, is fairly close-ish. And then Schumacher and Hamilton are essentially the two seven-time world champions, the two people that people have the GOAT debate over. And this is an unbelievable matchup, but I am the same as you. We'll go into the points where, for me, it's Germany, because without getting cancelled, I also think Michael Schumacher is, in terms of the best driver I've ever seen, Michael Schumacher is better than Lewis Hamilton, in my opinion. And I think, even though it's really close, for me, like, prime Vettel's better than prime Mansell. So Schumacher was unbelievable. I mean,
I think
there's,
well,
maybe a bit of a bias from, like, childhood watching him be the best, but yeah.
Yeah, it is obviously difficult to compare, and this has been the whole point of this F1 World Cup. It's a bit of fun, but for me, not only that, but if we're talking about the GOAT debate as well, of course, this is a natural conversation to have. Schumacher built teams from the ground up as well. Like, when he went to Ferrari, they were dog. Like, they were not very good. And he managed to create this absolute well-oiled monster in Ferrari. Now, I'm not saying Hamilton hasn't done the same with Mercedes, but also I don't think there's any coincidence that Schumi left Mercedes and then they got really good. I'm just gonna hey look you can't confirm it, but I am happily gonna die on the hill of Schumi being an absolute machine and knows exactly how to make a team work. But that's not what we're debating right now. We're debating a sprint race and a main race and one.
Should we do the points backing up our own theory here?
Let's break it down right now. So in qualifying, one shot,
Hamilton's pole.
You've only got one. Okay, sorry, a bit of JLS came out. Hamilton on pole, I'll happily accept. Schumacher second, yes. Vettel third, because, I mean, Schumi is turning up.
Yeah.
All right, Schumi's turning up for the World Cup final, you know what I mean? And then fourth, unfortunately, is Mansell. Now, we move to the sprint race. I'm probably going to back Hamilton to convert.
Yeah,
I'm going to back Hamilton to convert. Schumi's...
Same order.
I think it finishes the same order as qualifying. Vettel's obviously not going to try anything on Schumi. Schumi is going to try and catch Hamilton, but I just don't think it's going to work for that. But then the main race, prime Hamilton and prime Schumacher, rolling the yards right now. Schumi's doing a seven-stop race and winning somewhere.
Yeah, he is, isn't he?
He's doing a Magna Cor.
I think Hamilton wins a sprint, but Schumi wins the main race. He's for me, I've never seen a better race driver than Michael Schumacher in terms of winning a race, whether, like, you joke, but, you know, whether it's doing a four-stop strategy. And you can say that, and again, we have to go into, like, oh, is Ross Brawn with him? But Schumi could deliver it any situation. So for me, yeah, Schumacher gets the dub.
Hell yeah. Go on the Schumi. So that means that for the main race, yeah, we're going to say basically Schumi and Hamilton swap for first and second. Does Mansell beat Vettel in the race?
Maybe. But it doesn't make a difference.
It doesn't matter. It means Germany would win by 2 points.
Yeah.
But okay, we are going to officially crown, and I saw as well that the poll has disappeared, but I think it was about
80%
that
believe
that Germany should also win the World Cup. So I am
still
delighted to announce that Germany have won the F1 World Cup with Schumacher and Vettel. Big round of applause. Well done. I think we knew that was coming. Or did we? I think some people may have backed England from the get-go. Who knows? But that is 83% it was in the end. So Well done to Germany. They've won the World Cup. And who will win the real World Cup? Maybe Morocco. They're not on this
Hopefully.
One, that's for sure. But Tommy, final thoughts from the F1 World Cup.
Final thoughts are, I feel like we've almost shown how difficult it is to debate drivers from different eras, because, oh my word, that is one of the most difficult things to decide who is a better driver between someone racing essentially around some hay bales in an airfield in a tin can versus, you know, the most high performance modern Formula One cars with all the technology and stuff. It's like a completely different sport. So, but it was enjoyable, just a bit of fun. And yeah, well done on Germany. I mean, they were top seeds. We got the top seeds in the final, Germany versus England. And yeah, I think fair play Germany. That is a strong team. And yeah, most titles in that team as well.
And also some people in the chat are saying third place, losers final.
Oh, we'll
never
do
that. Of course,
that'll
be against Brazil versus Scotland. Brazil would win. That's my final thought right there. But either or, thank you everybody for watching and listening, depending if you're on the podcast or on YouTube. We'll see you very soon for another video. Bye.
Bye.